Hello, you're listening to Reclaim Your Confidence, a podcast dedicated to promoting body positivity and confidence. I'm your host, Katie, and each week I sit down and chat with men and women who have different stories to share. You can find the podcast on Instagram at Reclaim Your Confidence, and you can leave me a message on the Anchor mobile app. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any content and you keep up to date with the episodes. Thanks so much for listening, and let's get into this week's episode. Hello everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Reclaim Your Confidence. This week I am chatting to Rihanna from At The Fight For Beauty on Instagram. She was one of the first accounts that I followed when I put together this podcast, simply because her Instagram page is just so honest and open. Rihanna blogs about her recovery from bulimia and orthorexia, and if you're someone who's going through your own recovery journey, I would really recommend giving her a follow. She manages to express things that I think about diet culture in a really eloquent and educational way, and it's so refreshing, and it's exactly what I needed to hear and see on my Instagram feed. So I really hope you enjoy listening to this episode, and as always, I feel like I do say this with every guest, but it was such a pleasure recording with her. She was so kind, and yeah, I'll see you next week. So, do you mind just giving a bit of background information about who you are, why you set up your Instagram page, and tell us about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So, well, my name is Rihanna, not to be confused with the more rich and more famous Rihanna. I am 33 years old. I live in Los Angeles, California now, but I was born and raised in Arizona. A little bit of background on me. I grew up just with all the women in my life were very body conscious. I remember like hearing my mom and my grandma, my aunts were always talking about like losing weight and going on these diets. And so I grew up with the, just that being what I believed was normal, that women are just supposed to be concerned with losing weight and always doing the next diet. I use air quotes, my first diet when I was in the fourth grade. I didn't know what I was doing. In my mind, a diet was just eating less. And so I remember like going to my mom, and my uncle at the time was there, and I remember talking about how I was going to go on a diet, and they were like, you don't even have weight to lose. Like, what are you dieting for? And in my mind, I felt so overweight compared to all the other girls, you know, and looking back at pictures, we were all the same size. So it was all in my head. And then as I grew up, I am a singer. So I was pursuing music. Yeah. So I was pursuing music, and, that industry in general is obviously very, very body conscious. Yeah. So being somebody who already struggled with food and body image, going into that industry was just a recipe for disaster. When I was 18, I found a manager out here in LA, and I was getting to go to these like cool studios, like Paramount Studios, and record, you know, demos. And yeah, and I got to fly to Atlanta, and I got to record with Mariah Carey's producer. And it was like all this really amazing, exciting things were happening. And, you know, I wanted to be the next Britney Spears, because that's who was, you know, the it girl at the time. And I remember meeting with one of the agents, and this is not an exaggeration of what he said to me. My sister and my best friend were with me, and I remember him saying, he's like, you need to remember that you're competing with Britney and Christina. So the way your body is right now, a man would find you attractive if you were in a dark club and you had a few drinks in him and you were wearing something skanky. But other than that, you don't compare body wise to them. And I remember when he said that to me, it didn't even come across as rude, because I was so caught up in the belief that he was right. You know, in my mind, I thought he was, it was just tough love. So I was like, yeah, he's so right. And so he told me before I could fly out to Atlanta to record, I needed to be working out 3 hours a day and needed to be watching my diet. And so that's what I did. And I remember driving home from LA after meeting with him, my best friend and my sister and I stopped at Cold Stone in a gas station, and I loaded up on all my favorite foods that I could, that I told myself it was the last time I'd ever be able to eat. And the next day started off on this really crazy, which now I see was, I was using, you know, anorexic behaviors. I was eating very little, working out quite a lot. I was able to lose a bit of weight. I didn't really need to lose too much. And so by the time I actually got to Atlanta to record, it had been about 3 or 4 months of living that lifestyle. And I remember my body just crashing when I got to Atlanta. I couldn't stop binging. We were having like late night recording sessions starting at 2 in the morning. I'd be driving home at 6 a.m. going to, you know, different fast food restaurants that were open, different, you know, going to Walmart, buying whatever I could buy. And I just couldn't stop binging. I felt so out of control. And I remember when I got home from that trip, my best friend, Kindness, we've been friends since we were 8. She's been through this whole journey with me. I remember her going up to my mom and saying, "What are we going to do about Rihanna's eating disorder?" And I think that was really the first time I had heard someone say that I had an eating disorder. And at the time I was so like, in a sick way, it was a compliment when she said it, because in my mind, people who had eating disorders were really thin, which is obviously not the truth. I know that now, but in my mind, I thought that that was a compliment, because if she thought I was thin enough to have an eating disorder, then I made it. And, a few months after that, well, probably about a month and a half after that, I ended up going into inpatient treatment. I was there for about five and a half months. And truth be told, my eating disorder got worse after that experience. Yeah. I went in kind of against my will. And I didn't want to get better. And when you're in that environment with a lot of other girls who are also, you know, sick and kind of having their own battles, I learned a lot of different methods and ways to manipulate my body and manipulate food and that sort of thing. And so after that, I got really into partying. So I was drinking a lot. I had developed pretty intense bulimia at that point. And that continued over for the next, I would say, until I was about 26 is when I really started to pursue recovery. And gosh, there's so much more to say, so you can stop me if this started pursuing recovery seriously when I was 26. I had kind of had a, I'm religious, so I had more of a come to Jesus moment where I realized I didn't like the way I was living. I didn't like feeling hungover every weekend. I didn't like, you know, spending all my money on food and late nights, you know, purging. And I didn't like it. I couldn't maintain this lifestyle anymore. And so started going back to church. I ended up moving to Northern California to go to a ministry school up there. And I had just a really beautiful community up there and had a really beautiful experience my first few years there in healing my relationship with food and healing my relationship with my body. I don't want to take away from the recovery I experienced, but what I will say is I had recovered from bulimia, but I eventually developed orthorexia, which is the obsession with eating super clean and just wanting everything to be super pure. And, that obsession, even though I felt I was recovered, was doing a lot of damage as well. So about 4 years after, I started the recovery journey, I had a few personal things happen in my life. My niece passed away. My grandpa passed away. Yeah. And my aunt passed away all within 6 months of each other. So there's just a lot of loss going on. And because I was grieving, I didn't really know how to deal with it, I ended up relapsing back into bulimia. So that was in 2017. And that for me felt like the lowest and the darkest place, because at that point I had been helping people who were struggling with eating disorders. And so I was the person people would come to, and here I am with this secret that I've relapsed. And I kept it a secret for quite a few months because I had so much shame. I felt as though I had ruined my life. And I eventually confided in one of my best friends, and she encouraged me to start talking to my counselor about it. Good. And I did. And what was really amazing was I had so much shame and belief that I had ruined my life and that I would never actually recover. But what was amazing was once I actually allowed people into that process and that journey with me, how almost quickly I was able to get back on my feet. Yeah. And I had people who were able to just really walk me through that healing journey. And it's been about, I guess, what year are we in? 2019. So it's coming up on 2 years since I had relapsed. And yeah, and it's been just the most freeing and amazing journey. I kept it private that I had gone through a relapse for about a year, just because it was one of those things that I just knew I needed to protect my recovery. Yeah. I just wanted to keep
something it you have to deal with me. In your own terms, yeah, before you share it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I had a support system, I had people in my life that knew about it, but it wasn't something I wanted to like publicly talk about, you know. So what inspired me to start my Instagram was this last Thanksgiving in 2018. I spent Thanksgiving with my sister. We had a great day. We ate, we cleaned up. And when we were sitting on the couch, I opened up my Facebook and I was scrolling, seeing all these posts from girls about how much they ate and how awful they felt. And I was seeing other people commenting on it, giving awful advice, like, oh, just, you know, double up on your workout tomorrow, or, you know, just start fresh, eat clean tomorrow. And I had a moment, two things happened. I had a moment where I realized, I was like, I didn't even think about the food today. Like that wasn't even, like my body and food and calories and all that stress wasn't even a part of my Thanksgiving Day experience, yeah, which was amazing because I'd never really had that experience before. So it was amazing to be like, wow, you know, I actually went the whole day without even thinking about the pressures of this holiday. And then I also got really upset at the advice and just the torment that I was seeing these girls be under. And it just kind of, it was almost like this like righteous anger came up inside of me where I just thought, gosh, this isn't right. Like women should not be living like this. And, people shouldn't be giving out such awful diet.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. And so I started my Instagram account, I guess you could say kind of out of anger, just because I was like, no, there needs to be like a voice out there. I just really wanted to be the voice that I needed somebody to be for me a few years ago. And so I just started posting my experiences. I started talking about emotional eating and binging and bulimia and restriction and just sharing what I've learned and my experiences. Yeah. And I was really amazed to see just the response that I was getting from people. So that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That was great to hear. One of the things I was going to say is I love the fact that your page is so open and honest. Like I feel like perhaps the reason that's why you have the followers that you do is because you are genuine. And usually with those sort of things, like people try and sugarcoat it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously with an eating disorder, there's no sugarcoating it. It's
right.
You need facts and
right.
And
And there's just so much bad information out there, especially now that we live in a world that everybody has access to create an Instagram account, you know, and people are more concerned with getting more followers than they are with actually providing quality content.
Right.
And I just feel like as I've been, you know, running my Instagram account and I've been seeing all these other amazing accounts who are doing the same thing, it's amazing to see that there are voices out there that are like a voice of reason, but there's very few of them out there, you know? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I do find it quite difficult to find pages that are specifically that honest.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giving you a pat on the back and a thumbs up.
Thank you.
I am.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and it's been very like I said, I started it just because I was frustrated with there being a lack of sound information out there. And it's also been amazing to see how much it's impacted me. Like it's been the first time I posted a photo of my body, I felt nervous because it's, you know, your body is so sacred and putting it out there on the internet for anyone to make a comment. Exactly. Is a scary thing to do, but it's been amazing to see how, like, I know it's helped others, but it's helped me so much as well, where I've just come to realize, like, yeah, I posted my body and nothing happened. I'm still alive and thriving, you know, like the worst case scenario didn't come to pass.
Exactly. So. I think as well, putting yourself out on the internet with pictures like that, I mean, there's always a fear that, because I've done that as well, I've posted pictures, mm-hmm. there's always a fear that you're going to get negative feedback, and I always feel like people are actually generally quite friendly, and it's so mm-hmm. empowering to have comments that are like, well done, like, congratulations. Yes.
Absolutely.
It's like a breath of fresh air, really.
Yeah, I think it's been, there's a lot of great accounts that I follow that I always, like, I'm not sure if you follow Own It Babe on Instagram, but she's another great account. I had followed her for about a year, maybe a year and a half before I started mine. And she's another voice out there where she has a very beautiful body that it's crazy to me when you look at it, how people are calling her brave and people are saying, oh, you have so much confidence. And when you look at it, you're like, she has a very like normal size body. And it's crazy to me how like we live in a society where somebody who has like a more average size body is being called brave for showing it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that having those types of accounts and filling your feed with people who have all a variety of different body types is super important for your own mental healing.
Oh, for sure. It's interesting because when you mentioned that she has a very like normal body, I was doing some shopping online the other day and I've gone up a few sizes in the last few months. And when I looked on there, I went on the plus size section and there was a girl who her body was beautiful and she was in the plus size one. It's so confusing sometimes, I think, for people.
It is. I think, gosh, there's so much to say, and it's something that I've been processing through a lot on my own as well. Because it's like, who's to say what body is good or bad?
Yeah.
Like, we've been conditioned to believe, and I made a post about this the other day because I thought about it and I'm like, you know, since we were toddlers, a lot of us grew up watching, you know, Disney movies, and the princesses, while they're beautiful, they're all very thin.
Yeah.
You know, their waists are tiny. Yeah. They all have the same body type. And those are always like the heroes in the movie and the one that gets the prince and the one who finds love and success at the end. So since we were toddlers, we've been conditioned to believe that our bodies are supposed to look a certain way. And I think that it's just so interesting how like the more research I do just on bodies and how like so many different things play into why a person's body would look different than another person, where it's like genetics, there is, you know, hormones, there is, whatever, like, economic background you grew up in, what types of food are available to you and what types aren't. And there's so many things that go into what creates a certain person's body size that we just don't take into consideration. Because again, since we were young, we've been seeing bodies like Cinderella and Belle and Snow White, where they all look the same. So we believe that that is the ultimate body type. So it's been really interesting just kind of going through this process. And as I've healed my relationship with my body and my body image, what's crazy is I've noticed that I don't really pay as much attention to my body. And I also don't pay as much attention to other people's bodies too. Like, I'm definitely a lot less critical. I don't really think about other people's bodies anymore, whereas before I used to, you know.
See, that's interesting because I'm at the process where I have just started like my recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think about other people's, and I do look at other people and think, oh, I wish I had her body. I wish I looked like that.
Right.
Whereas I feel like perhaps in a few months' time, I'll start to learn to respect and love my body again, which is really all that I want, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a process too. Like, I think I love this whole like body positivity and this whole like self-love movement. I think sometimes what people don't talk about is how hard that journey is.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like it's just like when you meet somebody and you start dating someone and you start the process of getting to know them and falling in love, very rarely is it a fast process.
You know,
it's generally something that it takes time. It takes work and effort and learning each other. And I think the same is true for when you're developing a healthy relationship with yourself as well.
I think that's a really good analogy. I completely agree with that.
And so I think there's, people can just put a, we see these, you know, and we see these inspirational quotes on Instagram about loving yourself, and we can beat ourselves up that we're not quite there yet. And so it's okay. It takes time, and it takes, you know, like for me, I spent, by the time I started recovery again, I'd spent 31 years hating myself, you know, so I'm not gonna just learn to fall in love with myself just because I see one inspirational quote on Instagram. It's gonna take time.
A long process. A lot of another question I was gonna ask you is, what advice would you give to someone who perhaps thinks they might have an eating disorder, and how they would go about, you know, reaching out to someone maybe?
I think if you're thinking that you might have an eating disorder, chances are that you do have an eating disorder. I think too, there's a spectrum when it comes to eating disorders. Some people can assume that just because they're not in a certain body size or they don't look a certain way, that means that they're not sick enough. And that's also not the truth. We're definitely seeing more and more people come forward that in all different body types, you can have various eating disorders and disorder eating. I guess the advice that I would give is to not suffer by yourself, to find somebody that you really trust to allow into that process. For me, it was truly when I relapsed, I think there were maybe only 3 or 4 people that actually knew. Some people that were really close to me, I didn't even really let into the process. One of them was my counselor, and then the other ones were my friends. And just having a support system, having people that aren't afraid of where you're at, because it's really hard when you're in that place. It can feel really messy. You feel unlovable. You feel like a failure. And all those things, and just having those people around you who can look past all that and kind of sit in the mess with you at times. Sometimes you just need someone who will just sit with you and just feel sad for you. And then you also need that person who's going to sit with you and then tell you when it's time, you know, to get back up. And so just having those people to really support you in the process, I think it can make or break somebody's recovery journey. You know,
what's interesting is, as I know we spoke about with you, that your friend had mentioned to your mum about your eating disorder. I didn't even realize that I had a problem with food until my boyfriend sort of, obviously in a caring and kind way, said to me, look, the way how you're eating is not normal.
Right.
Because I binge eat. That's my thing. I have done since I was 15. And it's always been my comfort thing. It's always been when I've been sad, when I've been anxious, when I'm stressed. And then for someone who's outside of me to notice that, then it really clicked in my head. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, he is right. I have to face it.
Right.
And I have to go and seek help.
Right. Yeah. I think it's, because sometimes when you've lived with something for so long, it doesn't feel abnormal. You know, it's like, that's your normal.
Exactly.
And I was the same way when my friend said that to my mom, because all my life I'd been obsessed with food and been obsessed with trying to diet and been obsessed with exercising. I thought that I was normal. I thought that I actually, in a weird way, I thought I was mentally stronger than other people because of my obsession with it in like a twisted way. It just felt so normal. I just felt like that's how we're supposed to live, is we're supposed to live obsessed with food and our bodies. And so, when my friend said that, you know, what are we going to do about Rihanna's eating disorder? Truly, even when I was going into treatment and being an inpatient client, I didn't even feel like I belonged there, because I still didn't feel like I actually had an eating disorder. And it's funny to read old journal entries from that time in my life, because as sick as I was, I didn't believe that I was sick enough to be there. Mm. And I think that's also a very common thing amongst people who struggle with food and body image, is the misconception that they're not sick enough to get help.
Well, that's the thing. I thought for a moment, I was like, no, like, other people do this, you know. It's like, no, mm-hmm. not to the extent that you do it.
Right.
And then I went and saw a doctor, and I told him, and he sort of laughed it off, which was mm-hmm. incredibly difficult when you're finally accepting that you have a problem, and then you go and actually talk to, you know, a professional about it, and then they just mm-hmm. say, oh, it's all right, I eat a packet of biscuits when I'm stressed. And then that sort of pushed me back a little bit, and I thought, oh, I don't want to tell anyone else, because what if someone else mm-hmm. has the same reaction? And then it took me a few months to see another doctor, and then things were finally put in place.
Yeah. And it's such a bummer, because it just goes to show how we have normalized eating disorder behaviors in our culture, where it's like, it's just become such a normal thing where people will bond and laugh about how they, quote, lost control over food, and they were binging. And mm-hmm. it's we're so fixated on food and our bodies and our society that even eating disorder behaviors are either encouraged or joked about,
you know? Almost normalized in a way.
Yeah. It's so sad. Normal. And like I said, like, I thought it was normal to be obsessed with food and my body. And in a sense it was, you know, a lot of people around me were the same way. And so it can, especially I think with the rise of orthorexia right now, people are seeing more and more clients and patients coming in for inpatient treatment with orthorexia, which I mentioned is the obsession with eating clean, because that's an eating disorder behavior that is praised in society, you know? So it's really hard for patients who are struggling with that to even realize that it's an issue. It's so complicated. It's so deeply like ingrained in our society and in our lives that even now I'll notice like maybe a thought I had or something. I'll see like a friend post something, and it's like, gosh, it's crazy how like that wouldn't have seemed weird to me for them to post a few years ago, but now I can see the unhealthy like subliminal message behind it, you know.
It's interesting because I was talking to a lady a few days ago about how society has suddenly thought that it's acceptable to shame women for having put on a little bit of weight. And it's like, wow, if they do that with celebrities, imagine what people think when I walk down the street and when I see people I haven't seen in years. Are they thinking, wow, she's put on a lot of weight?
Right.
It's so twisted.
It is. And it's like, we feel like as a society, we have a right to talk about somebody else's body.
I know.
I remember like when I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Oh, me too.
No shame in my game. And I remember when she kind of disappeared for a while after her last album and came out with her completion, and people were commenting on her body type. And she even said, like, you know, media outlets are reporting that I'm pregnant because I've gained 15 pounds. Come to find out in an article that she wrote later that she had briefly mentioned taking dieting to an extreme and how it got to a point where it was unhealthy. And it was just really sad to see how, that 15 pounds is probably the best thing that's ever happened to her, because it's giving her health back, her energy back, and everything like that. But yet the media automatically assumes, you're either in a bad place or you're pregnant, because why else would somebody gain 15 pounds?
Exactly.
Like, no, maybe I just want to be healthy.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just finally enjoying food and not putting pressure on myself. And if I put on weight, I've put on weight.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, right before we got on this call, I was recording a video that I was getting ready. I'll probably post later in this week about how we just need to start reevaluating how we think about weight loss and weight gain.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of really bad reasons why people lose weight. Weight loss is not good. And I even had a girl message me on Instagram where she was saying she's dealing with a health issue, and it's made her lose a lot of weight, and she's getting tons of compliments for it. And it's kind of messing her up mentally, because she's like, it's hard, because if they only knew that I'm actually sick.
Yeah.
But yet our society, we see someone losing weight and the first thing we think is, oh, that's great. Good for you. And also there's a lot of really great reasons why people gain weight. Mm-hmm. Like, we also need to reevaluate why we see weight gain as such a bad thing. Definitely. Really, it can be such a great thing. Like for me, I've gained, I don't weigh myself, so this is just a guess, but I would say I've gained 10 to 15 pounds since I recovered in 2017. And I always say, I'm like, those 10 to 15 pounds are the best thing that ever happened to me, because it represents freedom. It represents having a life where I'm not a slave to the gym and not a slave to my fitness pal and being so obsessed about food. And weight gain, if you had met me in 2017, you probably wouldn't have looked at me and thought, oh, that's somebody that needs to gain weight, you know? But yet I still needed to gain weight because I needed it
for yourself. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think, I was also talking about like diets the other day, like Weight Watchers, Slimming World. And the lady that I've spoken to has recently started intuitive eating. And that's really something that I want to try and like invest my time into, because I've spent years doing diets like that. And still now I think, oh, that's a bad food. That's a good food.
Right.
Which is not the best for myself.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, at the same time, it's not really your fault though, because that's what we're raised to believe. Yeah. We're raised to believe that one food is better than the other. And, I mean, I can't recommend intuitive eating more. It changed my life. It changed the way I view my body and the way I view food and my relationship with it. And so I get really excited when people say that they either bought the book or they've been practicing it. It's just, I really, the work that the authors of that book have done is just absolutely amazing.
I feel like that's my next, I don't want to say project, because it's something that I want to keep for basically the rest of my life.
Right. So,
yeah. That's next for me.
Yeah. That's awesome. You'll have to keep me posted.
Yeah, I will. And I want to do what you do and not weigh myself either, which is something that's going to be really difficult, because I put a lot of pressure on the number that I see on the scales. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's wrong as well for myself.
Yeah. It's again, like, not weighing myself has been awesome. Even when I go to the doctor, I'll even like say to the nurse, when you go in and they have to like measure you and weigh you, I'll always say like, can you actually not tell me my weight? That's, or I'm not going to look at it. And so just because I'm like, literally nothing good has ever happened for me looking at my weight.
I totally agree.
There's never been a positive outcome. So let's just like avoid that mental breakdown altogether. It's just, it doesn't really benefit anybody. Mm-hmm. And I saw a quote on Instagram. I don't know who posted it, so I sadly can't credit them, but if you see it, you'll know. But it was basically like, I don't need to know what I weigh as long as I'm taking care of my body. And I resonated with that. So I'm like, my weight, that is not important. If I'm feeling good.
Mm-hmm. And you feel healthy and happy with yourself. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah.
Exactly.
I have some questions that I like to ask everyone on the podcast, just before like I wrap it up. And that is, if you could tell your teenage self one thing, what would it be? Like a bit of advice?
Yeah. Oh gosh. How long does my teenage self have? if I could tell my teenage self anything, it would be to, it's going to sound so cliche, but to just relax, stop making everything so high stakes. The people that you care about impressing, the friends that you have in your life, the aspirations that you have, like it's all going to change. Mm. And to not put so much of your self-worth in whether somebody accepts you, in whether your dreams come true, in what your body size is, all those things, to just chill out.
Yeah. I feel like as a teenager, that's really difficult, isn't it?
It is. It, even for me now, it's like, I guess I could, what should I say to myself now? that's something, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Enneagram or not. It's like a personality test.
No.
But basically it's a personality test, and the one that I tested for is the type where we put a lot of our self-worth and things that we're able to do and accomplish. So it's kind of something that I am challenged with a lot, where I'm having to really just challenge certain belief systems I have and just remind myself that it's not such a big deal, you know, like it's going to be okay. Stop making everything such a high risk, you know?
Yeah. I'm the same. So
yeah.
The next question is, because this is all about body positivity, what is your favorite thing about yourself? It doesn't have to be a physical aspect. It could be like a personality trait.
You know, I think my favorite thing about myself is that I like to have fun. My birthday was in February, and one of my best friends put together like a birthday video for me of all my friends and family, like saying happy birthday and things they love about me. And one of the things I noticed was a lot of my friends were saying things like, some of my craziest and funniest memories were with you. And I noticed that as like as a trend. And I do think that's true about myself, is I like to just go out and have new experiences. I'm all about trying different things and just making things funny. Yeah. Like it's just, that's one of my favorite things to do, is just to go out and just laugh and do wild and crazy things with my friends.
Awesome. I wish I was more like that. I wouldn't even go on a roller coaster because I'm terrified of them.
Oh no, if I ever meet you, we'll have to, if you ever come to LA, I'll take you to Six Flags.
I've heard a lot about that. I would love to go and just look at the rides.
Right. Yeah. You're like, I'll just watch you.
Yeah. You guys go and I'll just watch from down here.
Well, we'll find a way to make it fun for you.
Yeah. Well, I would just love like the ice cream there. That would be my,
thing. Your thing, absolutely.
My final question is, where can we find you if people want to go and look at your social media pages?
Yeah, so on Instagram, I am at The Fight for Beauty, all spelled out. On Facebook, I'm kind of in the process of my Facebook quote fan page. So I would mostly say just go to Instagram.
Yeah,
that's where I am the most.
That's where I found you. So
yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, your page is great.
Thank you.
No worries.
It's been a lot of fun, like I said.
I can imagine. I'm hoping to branch mine out a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. Just keep posting and sharing your journey. I think that's the most important thing, is like just sharing. Like I'm by no means an expert in any of this.
Yeah, of course.
I am an expert in my own story and my own journey. So that's, you know, what I can share from.
I think experience has a lot to say for itself. People like to know that other people have gone through similar things to them, which is why I looked for people like yourself, because I wanted to follow people that have a similar story to me.
Right. And
I found quite a few, so it's been really good.
I love it. Awesome.
Thank you so much for
being
on the podcast.
Hello. You're listening to Reclaim Your Confidence, a podcast dedicated to promoting body positivity and confidence. I'm your host, Katie, and each week I sit down and chat with men and women who have different stories to share. You can find the podcast on Instagram at Reclaim Your Confidence, and you can leave me a message on the Anchor mobile app. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any content and you keep up to date with the episodes. Thanks so much for listening, and let's get into this week's episode. Hello everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Reclaim Your Confidence. This week I am chatting to Rihanna from At The Fight For Beauty on Instagram. She was one of the first accounts that I followed when I put together this podcast, simply because her Instagram page is just so honest and open. Rihanna blogs about her recovery from bulimia and orthorexia, and if you're someone who's going through your own recovery journey, I would really recommend giving her a follow. She manages to express things that I think about diet culture in a really eloquent and educational way. And it's so refreshing, and it's exactly what I needed to hear and see on my Instagram feed. So I really hope you enjoy listening to this episode. And as always, I feel like I do say this with every guest, but it was such a pleasure recording with her. She was so kind. And I'll see you next week.
So, do you mind just giving a bit of background information about who you are, why you set up your Instagram page, and tell us about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So, well, my name is Rihanna, not to be confused with the more rich and more famous Rihanna. I am 33 years old. I live in Los Angeles, California now, but I was born and raised in Arizona. Little bit of background on me. I grew up just with all the women in my life were very body conscious. I remember like hearing my mom and my grandma and my aunts were always talking about like losing weight and going on these diets. And so I grew up with the just that being what I believed was normal, that women are just supposed to be concerned with losing weight and always doing the next diet. I use air quotes, my first diet when I was in the fourth grade. I didn't know what I was doing. In my mind, a diet was just eating less. And so I remember like going to my mom, and my uncle at the time was there. And I remember talking about how I was going to go on a diet, and they were like, you don't even have weight to lose. Like, what are you dieting for? And in my mind, I felt so overweight compared to all the other girls, you know, and looking back at pictures, we were all the same size. So it was all in my head. And then as I grew up, I am a singer. So I was pursuing music. Yeah. So I was pursuing music, and that industry in general is obviously very, very body conscious. Yeah. So being somebody who already struggled with food and body image, going into that industry was just a recipe for a disaster. When I was 18, I found a manager out here in LA, and I was getting to go to these like cool studios, like Paramount Studios, and record, you know, demos. And yeah, and I got to fly to Atlanta, and I got to record with Mariah Carey's producer. And it was like all this really amazing, exciting things were happening. And, you know, I wanted to be the next Britney Spears, because that's who was, you know, the it girl at the time. And I remember meeting with one of the agents, and this is not an exaggeration of what he said to me. My sister and my best friend were with me. And I remember him saying, he's like, you need to remember that you're competing with Britney and Christina. So the way your body is right now, a man would find you attractive if you were in a dark club and you had a few drinks in him and you were wearing something skanky. But other than that, you don't compare body-wise to them. And I remember when he said that to me, it didn't even come across as rude, because I was so caught up in the belief that he was right. You know, in my mind, I thought it was just tough love. So I was like, yeah, he's so right. And so he told me before I could fly out to Atlanta to record, I needed to be working out 3 hours a day and needed to be watching my diet. And so that's what I did. And I remember driving home from LA after meeting with him, my best friend and my sister and I stopped at Cold Stone in a gas station, and I loaded up on all my favorite foods that I told myself it was the last time I'd ever be able to eat. And the next day started off on this really crazy, which now I see was, I was using, you know, anorexic behaviors. I was eating very little, working out quite a lot. I was able to lose a bit of weight. I didn't really need to lose too much. And so by the time I actually got to Atlanta to record, it had been about 3 or 4 months of living that lifestyle. And I remember my body just crashing when I got to Atlanta. I couldn't stop binging. We were having like late night recording sessions starting at 2 in the morning. I'd be driving home at 6 a.m. going to, you know, different fast food restaurants that were open. Different, you know, going to Walmart, buying whatever I could buy. And I just couldn't stop binging. I felt so out of control. And I remember when I got home from that trip, my best friend, Kindness, we've been friends since we were 8. She's been through this whole journey with me. I remember her going up to my mom and saying, what are we going to do about Rihanna's eating disorder? And I think that was really the first time I had heard someone say that I had an eating disorder. And at the time I was so like, in a sick way, it was a compliment when she said it, because in my mind, people who had eating disorders were really thin, which is obviously not the truth. I know that now, but in my mind, I thought that that was a compliment, because if she thought I was thin enough to have an eating disorder, then I made it. And a few months after that, well, probably about a month and a half after that, I ended up going into inpatient treatment. I was there for about five and a half months. And truth be told, my eating disorder got worse after that experience. Yeah. I went in kind of against my will. And I didn't want to get better. And when you're in that environment with a lot of other girls who are also, you know, sick and kind of having their own battles, I learned a lot of different methods and ways to manipulate my body and manipulate food and that sort of thing. And so after that, I got really into partying. So I was drinking a lot. I had developed pretty intense bulimia at that point. And that continued over for the next, I would say, until I was about 26 is when I really started to pursue recovery.
Yeah.
And gosh, there's so much more to say, so you can stop me if this But yeah, awesome. So started pursuing recovery seriously when I was 26. I had kind of had a, I'm religious, so I had more of a come to Jesus moment where I realized I didn't like the way I was living. I didn't like feeling hungover every weekend. I didn't like, you know, spending all my money on food and late nights, you know, purging. And I didn't like it. I couldn't maintain this lifestyle anymore. And so started going back to church. I ended up moving to Northern California to go to a ministry school up there. And I had just a really beautiful community up there and had a really beautiful experience my first few years there in healing my relationship with food and healing my relationship with my body. I don't want to take away from the recovery I experienced, but what I will say is I had recovered from bulimia, but I eventually developed orthorexia, which is the obsession with eating super clean and just wanting everything to be super pure. And that obsession, even though I felt I was recovered, was doing a lot of damage as well. So about 4 years after I started the recovery journey, I had a few personal things happen in my life. My niece passed away. My grandpa passed away. Yeah. And my aunt passed away all within 6 months of each other. So there's just a lot of loss going on. And because I was grieving, I didn't really know how to deal with it, I ended up relapsing back into bulimia. So that was in 2017. And that for me felt like the lowest and the darkest place, because at that point I had been helping people who were struggling with eating disorders. And so I was the person people would come to. And here I am with this secret that I've relapsed. And I kept it a secret for quite a few months because I had so much shame. I felt as though I had ruined my life. And I eventually confided in one of my best friends, and she encouraged me to start talking to my counselor about it. And I did. And what was really amazing was I had so much shame and belief that I had ruined my life and that I would never actually recover. But what was amazing was once I actually allowed people into that process and that journey with me, how almost quickly I was able to get back on my feet. And I had people who were able to just really walk me through that healing journey. And it's been about, I guess, what year are we in? 2019. So it's coming up on 2 years since I had relapsed. And yeah, and it's been just the most freeing and amazing journey. I kept it private that I had gone through a relapse for about a year, just because it was one of those things that I just knew I needed to protect my recovery. I just wanted to keep
something you have to deal with in your own terms before you share it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I had a support system, I had people in my life that knew about it, but it wasn't something I wanted to like publicly talk about, you know. So what inspired me to start my Instagram was this last Thanksgiving in 2018. I spent Thanksgiving with my sister. We had a great day. We ate, we cleaned up. And when we were sitting on the couch, I opened up my Facebook and I was scrolling, seeing all these posts from girls about how much they ate and how awful they felt. And I was seeing other people commenting on it, giving awful advice, like, oh, just, you know, double up on your workout tomorrow, or, you know, just start fresh, eat clean tomorrow. And I had a moment, two things happened. I had a moment where I realized, I was like, I didn't even think about the food today. Like, that wasn't even, like my body and food and calories and all that stress wasn't even a part of my Thanksgiving Day experience, yeah. Which was amazing because I'd never really had that experience before. So it was amazing to be like, wow, you know, I actually went the whole day without even thinking about the pressures of this holiday. And then I also got really upset at the advice and just the torment that I was seeing these girls be under. And it just kind of, it was almost like this like righteous anger came up inside of me where I just thought, gosh, this isn't right. Like women should not be living like this. And people shouldn't be giving out such awful diet.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. And so I started my Instagram account, I guess you could say kind of out of anger, just because I was like, no, there needs to be like a voice out there. I just really wanted to be the voice that I needed somebody to be for me a few years ago. And so I just started posting my experiences. I started talking about emotional eating and binging and bulimia and restriction and just sharing what I've learned and my experiences. Yeah. And I was really amazed to see just the response that I was getting from people. So that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That was great to hear. One of the things I was going to say is I love the fact that your page is so open and honest. Like, I feel like perhaps the reason that's why you have the followers that you do is because you are genuine. And usually with those sort of things, like, people try and sugarcoat it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously with an eating disorder, there's no sugarcoating it. It's
right.
You need facts and
and it's, there's just so much bad information out there, especially now that we live in a world that everybody has access to create an Instagram account, you know, and people are more concerned with getting more followers than they are with actually providing quality content.
Right.
And I just feel like as I've been, you know, running my Instagram account and I've been seeing all these other amazing accounts who are doing the same thing, it's amazing to see that there are voices out there that are like a voice of reason, but there's very few of them out there, you know? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I do find it quite difficult to find pages that are specifically that honest.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giving you a pat on the back and a thumbs up.
Thank you.
I am.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and it's been very like I said, I started it just because I was frustrated with there being a lack of sound information out there. And it's also been amazing to see how much it's impacted me. Like, it's been the first time I posted a photo of my body, I felt nervous because it's, you know, your body is so sacred and putting it out there on the internet for anyone to make a comment, is a scary thing to do, but it's been amazing to see how, like, I know it's helped others, but it's helped me so much as well, where I've just come to realize, like, I posted my body and nothing happened. I'm still alive and thriving, you know, like the worst case scenario didn't come to pass.
Exactly. So. I think as well, putting yourself out on the internet with pictures like that, I mean, there's always a fear that, because I've done that as well, I've posted pictures. Mm-hmm. There's always a fear that you're going to get negative feedback. And I always feel like people are actually generally quite friendly, and it's so empowering to have comments that are like, well done, like, congratulations. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like a breath of fresh air, really.
Yeah, I think it's been, there's a lot of great accounts that I follow that I always, like, I'm not sure if you follow Own It Babe on Instagram, but she's another great account. I had followed her for about a year, maybe a year and a half before I started mine. And she's another voice out there where she has a very beautiful body that it's crazy to me when you look at it, how people are calling her brave and people are saying, oh, you have so much confidence. And when you look at it, you're like, she has a very like normal size body. And it's crazy to me how like we live in a society where somebody who has like a more average size body is being called brave for showing it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that that having those types of accounts and filling your feed with people who have a variety of different body types is super important for your own mental
healing. Oh, for sure. It's interesting because when you mentioned that she has a very like normal body, I was doing some shopping online the other day and I've gone up a few sizes in the last few months. And when I looked on there, I went on the plus size section and there was a girl who her body was beautiful and she was in the plus size one.
Right.
It's so confusing sometimes, I think, for people.
It is. I think, gosh, there's so much to say, and it's something that I've been processing through a lot on my own as well. Because it's like, who's to say what body is good or bad?
Yeah.
Like, we've been conditioned to believe, and I made a post about this the other day because I thought about it and I'm like, you know, since we were toddlers, a lot of us grew up watching, you know, Disney movies, and the princesses, while they're beautiful, they're all very thin.
Yeah.
You know, their waists are tiny. Yeah. They all have the same body type. And those are always like the heroes in the movie, and the one that gets the prince, and the one who finds love and success at the end. So since we were toddlers, we've been conditioned to believe that our bodies are supposed to look a certain way. And I think that it's just so interesting how, like, the more research I do just on bodies and how, like, so many different things play into why a person's body would look different than another person, where it's like genetics, there is, you know, hormones, there is whatever, like, economic background you grew up in, what types of food are available to you and what types aren't. And there's so many things that go into what creates a certain person's body size that we just don't take into consideration. Because again, since we were young, we've been seeing bodies like Cinderella and Belle and Snow White, where they all look the same. So we believe that that is the ultimate body type. So it's been really interesting just kind of going through this process. And as I've healed my relationship with my body and my body image, what's crazy is I've noticed that I don't really pay as much attention to my body. And I also don't pay as much attention to other people's bodies too. Like, I'm definitely a lot less critical. I don't really think about other people's bodies anymore, whereas before I used to, you know.
See, that's interesting because I'm at the process where I have just started like my recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think about other people's, and I do look at other people and think, oh, I wish I had her body. I wish I looked like that.
Right.
Whereas I feel like perhaps in a few months' time, I'll start to learn to respect and love my body again, which is really all that I want, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a process too. Like, I think I love this whole like body positivity and this whole like self-love movement. I think sometimes what people don't talk about is how hard that journey is.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, it's just like when you meet somebody and you start dating someone and you start the process of getting to know them and falling in love, very rarely is it a fast process.
You know,
it's generally something that it takes time. It takes work and effort and learning each other. And I think the same is true for when you're developing a healthy relationship with yourself as well.
I think that's a really good analogy. I completely agree with that.
And so I think there's, people can just put we see these, you know, and we see these inspirational quotes on Instagram about loving yourself, and we can beat ourselves up that we're not quite there yet. And so it's okay. It takes time, and it takes, you know, like for me, by the time I started recovery again, I'd spent 31 years hating myself, you know? So I'm not gonna just learn to fall in love with myself just because I see one inspirational quote on Instagram. It's going to take time.
A long process. Another question I was going to ask you is, what advice would you give to someone who perhaps thinks they might have an eating disorder, and how they would go about, you know, reaching out to someone maybe?
I think if you're thinking that you might have an eating disorder, chances are that you do have an eating disorder. I think too, there's a spectrum when it comes to eating disorders. Some people can assume that just because they're not in a certain body size or they don't look a certain way, yeah, that means that they're not sick enough. And that's also not the truth. We're definitely seeing more and more people come forward that in all different body types, you can have various eating disorders and disorder eating. I guess the advice that I would give is to not suffer by yourself, to find somebody that you really trust to allow into that process. For me, it was truly when I relapsed, I think there were maybe only three or four people that actually knew. Some people that were really close to me, I didn't even really let into the process. One of them was my counselor, and then the other ones were my friends. And just having a support system, having people that aren't afraid of where you're at, because it's really hard when you're in that place. It can feel really messy. You feel unlovable. You feel like a failure. And all those things, and just having those people around you who can look past all that and kind of sit in the mess with you at times. Sometimes you just need someone who will just sit with you and just feel sad for you. And then you also need that person who's going to sit with you and then tell you when it's time, you know, to get back up. And so just having those people to really support you in the process, I think it can make or break somebody's recovery journey. You know,
what's interesting is, as I know we spoke about with you, that your friend had mentioned to your mum about your eating disorder. I didn't even realize that I had a problem with food until my boyfriend sort of, obviously in a caring and kind way, said to me, look, the way how you're eating is not normal.
Right.
Because I binge eat. That's my thing. I have done since I was 15. And it's always been my comfort thing. It's always been when I've been sad, when I've been anxious, when I'm stressed. And then for someone who's outside of me to notice that, then it really clicked in my head. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, he is right. I have to face it.
Right.
And I have to go and seek help.
Right. Yeah. I think it's, because sometimes when you've lived with something for so long, it doesn't feel abnormal. You know, it's like, that's your normal.
Exactly.
And I was the same way when my friend said that to my mom, because all my life I'd been obsessed with food and been obsessed with trying to diet and been obsessed with exercising. I thought that I was normal. I thought that I actually, in a weird way, I thought I was mentally stronger than other people because of my obsession with it in like a twisted way. It just felt so normal. I just felt like that's how we're supposed to live, is we're supposed to live obsessed with food in our bodies. And so, when my friend said that, you know, what are we going to do about Rihanna's eating disorder? Truly, even when I was going into treatment and being an inpatient client, I didn't even feel like I belonged there, because I still didn't feel like I actually had an eating disorder. And it's funny to read old journal entries from that time in my life, because as sick as I was, I didn't believe that I was sick enough to be there. And I think that's also a very common thing amongst people who struggle with food and body image, is the misconception that they're not sick enough to get help.
Well, that's the thing. I thought for a moment, I was like, no, like, other people do this, you know. No, not to the extent that you do it.
Right.
And then I went and saw a doctor, and I told him, and he sort of laughed it off, which was incredibly difficult when you're finally accepting that you have a problem, and then you go and actually talk to, you know, a professional about it, and then they just say, oh, it's all right, I eat a packet of biscuits when I'm stressed. And then that sort of pushed me back a little bit. And I thought, oh, I don't want to tell anyone else, because what if someone else has the same reaction? And then it took me a few months to see another doctor, and then things were finally put in place.
Yeah. And it's such a bummer, because it just goes to show how we have normalized eating disorder behaviors in our culture, where it's like, it's just become such a normal thing where people will bond and laugh about how they, quote, lost control over food, and they were binging. And it's just, we're so fixated on on food and our bodies and our society that even eating disorder behaviors are either encouraged or joked about.
Like almost normalized in a way.
Yeah. It's so normal. Sad. And like I said, like, I thought it was normal to be obsessed with food and my body. And in a sense, it was, you know, a lot of people around me were the same way. And so it can, especially I think with the rise of orthorexia right now, people are seeing more and more clients and patients coming in for inpatient treatment with orthorexia, which I mentioned is the obsession with eating clean, because that's an eating disorder behavior that is praised in society, you know? So it's really hard for patients who are struggling with that to even realize that it's an issue.
Yes.
It's so complicated. It's so deeply like ingrained in our society and in our lives that even now I'll notice like maybe a thought I had or something. I'll see like a friend post something and it's like, gosh, it's crazy how like that wouldn't have seemed weird to me for them to post a few years ago, but now I can see the unhealthy like subliminal message behind it, you know.
It's interesting because I was talking to a lady a few days ago about how society has suddenly thought that it's acceptable to shame women for having put on a little bit of weight. And it's like, wow, if they do that with celebrities, imagine what people think when I walk down the street and when I see people I haven't seen in years, are they thinking, wow, she's put on a lot of weight?
Right.
It's so twisted.
It is. And it's like, we feel like as a society, we have a right to talk about somebody else's body.
I know.
I remember like when, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Oh, me too.
No shame in my game. And I remember when she kind of disappeared for a while after her last album and came out with Reputation, and people were commenting on her body type. And she even said, like, you know, media outlets are reporting that I'm pregnant because I've gained 15 pounds. Come to find out in an article that she wrote later that she had briefly mentioned taking dieting to an extreme and how it got to a point where it was unhealthy. And it was just really sad to see how that 15 pounds is probably the best thing that's ever happened to her because it's giving her health back, her energy back, and everything like that. But yet the media automatically assumes you're either in a bad place or you're pregnant because why else would somebody gain 15 pounds?
Exactly.
It's like, no, maybe I just want to be healthy.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just finally enjoying food and not putting pressure on myself. And if I put on weight, I've put on weight.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, right before we got on this call, I was recording a video that I was getting ready. I'll probably post later in this week about how we just need to start reevaluating how we think about weight loss and weight gain.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of really bad reasons why people lose weight. Oh, you know,
for sure.
weight loss is not good. And I even had a girl message me on Instagram where she was saying she's dealing with a health issue and it's made her lose a lot of weight and she's getting tons of compliments for it. And it's kind of messing her up mentally because she's like, it's hard because if they only knew that I'm actually sick.
Yeah.
But yet our society, we see someone losing weight and the first thing we think is, oh, that's great. Good for you. And also there's a lot of really great reasons why people gain weight. Mm-hmm. Like we also need to reevaluate why we see weight gain as such a bad thing.
Definitely.
Really, it can be such a great thing. Like for me, I've gained, I don't weigh myself. So this is just a guess, but I would say I've gained 10 to 15 pounds since I recovered in 2017. And I always say, I'm like, those 10 to 15 pounds are the best thing that ever happened to me because it represents freedom. It represents having a life where I'm not a slave to the gym and not a slave to my fitness pal and being so obsessed about food. And weight gain, if you had met me in 2017, you probably wouldn't have looked at me and thought, oh, that's somebody that needs to gain weight, you know? But yet I still needed to gain weight because I needed it
for yourself. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I think
I
was also talking about like diets the other day, like Weight Watchers Slimming World, and the lady that I spoke to has recently started intuitive eating.
Awesome.
And that's really something that I want to try and like invest my time into because I've spent years doing diets like that, and still now I think, oh, that's a bad food, that's a good food,
right?
Which is not the best. for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, at the same time, it's not really your fault though, because that's what we're raised to believe. Yeah. We're raised to believe that one food is better than the other. And, I mean, I can't recommend intuitive eating more. It changed my life. It changed the way I view my body and the way I view food and my relationship with it. And so I get really excited when people say that they either bought the book or they've been practicing it. It's just, I really, the work that the authors of the book have done is just absolutely amazing.
I feel like that's my next, I don't want to say project, because it's something that I want to keep for basically the rest of my life.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's next for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. You'll have to keep me posted.
Yeah, I will. And I want to do what you do and not weigh myself either, which is something that's going to be really difficult, because I put a lot of pressure on the number that I see on the scales. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's wrong as well for myself.
Yeah. It's again, like, yeah, not weighing myself has been awesome. Even when I go to the doctor, I'll even like say to the nurse, yeah, you know, when you go in and they have to like measure you and weigh you, I'll always say like, can you actually not tell me my weight? That's, or I'm not going to look at it. And so just because I'm like, literally nothing good has ever happened for me looking at my weight.
I totally agree.
There's never been a positive outcome. So let's just like avoid that mental breakdown altogether. It's just, it doesn't really benefit anybody. Mm-hmm. And I saw a quote on Instagram. I don't know who posted it, so I sadly can't credit them. But if you see it, you'll know. But it was basically like, I don't need to know what I weigh as long as I'm taking care of my body. And I resonated with that. So I'm like, yeah, my weight, that is not important. If I'm feeling good.
Mm-hmm. And you feel healthy and happy with yourself. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah.
Exactly.
I have some questions that I like to ask everyone on the podcast, just before like I wrap it up. And that is, if you could tell your teenage self one thing, what would it be? Like a bit of advice?
Yeah. Oh gosh. How long does my teenage self have? if I could tell my teenage self anything, it would be to, it's going to sound so cliche, but to just relax, stop making everything so high stakes. The people that you care about impressing, the friends that you have in your life, the aspirations that you have, like it's all going to change. Mm. And to not put so much of your self-worth in whether somebody accepts you, in whether your dreams come true, in what your body size is, all those things, to just chill out.
Yeah. I feel like as a teenager, that's really difficult, isn't it?
It is. It, even for me now, it's like, I guess I could, what should I say to myself now? that's something, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Enneagram or not. It's like a personality test.
No.
But basically it's a personality test. And the one that I tested for is the type where we put a lot of our self-worth and things that we're able to do and accomplish. So it's kind of something that I, am challenged with a lot, where I'm having to really just challenge certain belief systems I have and just remind myself that it's not such a big deal, you know, like it's going to be okay. Stop making everything such a high risk, you know?
Yeah. I'm the same. So
yeah.
The next question is, because this is all about body positivity, what is your favorite thing about yourself? It doesn't have to be a physical aspect. It could be like a personality trait.
You know, I think my favorite thing about myself is that I like to have fun. My birthday was in February, and one of my best friends put together like a birthday video for me of all my friends and family, like saying happy birthday and things they love about me. And one of the things I noticed was a lot of my friends were saying things like, some of my craziest and funniest memories were with you. And I noticed that as like as a trend. And I do think that's true about myself, is I like to just go out and have new experiences. Yeah. I'm all about trying different things and just making things funny. Yeah. Like it's just, yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do, is just to go out and just laugh and do wild and crazy things with my friends.
I wish I was more like that. I won't even go on a roller coaster because I'm terrified of them.
Oh no, we'll have to, if I ever meet you, we'll have to, if you ever come to LA, I'll take you to Six Flags.
I've heard a lot about that. I would love to go and just look at the rides.
Right, yeah. If you're like, I'll just watch you.
Yeah, you guys go and I'll just watch from down here.
Well, we'll find a way to make it fun for you.
Yeah, well, I would just love like the ice cream there. That would be my
thing. Your thing, absolutely.
My final question is, where can we find you if people want to go and look at your social media pages?
Yeah, so on Instagram, I am at The Fight for Beauty, all spelled out. On Facebook, I'm kind of in the process of my Facebook quote fan page. So I would mostly say just go to Instagram.
Yeah,
that's where I am the most.
That's where I found you. So
yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, your page is great.
Thank you.
No worries.
It's been a lot of fun, like I said.
I can imagine. I'm hoping to branch mine out a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. Just keep posting and sharing your journey. I think that's the most important thing, is like just sharing. Like I'm by no means an expert in any of this.
Yeah, of course.
I am an expert in my own story and my own journey. So that's, you know, what I can share from.
I think experience has a lot to say for itself. People like to know that other people have gone through similar things to them, which is why I looked for people like yourself, because I wanted to follow people that have a similar story to me.
Right.
I found quite a few, so it's been really good.
I love it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for
thank you.
Being on the podcast.